All right. Thank you, Brother Calvin. Take your Bibles this morning. 1 Corinthians chapter number 7. 1 Corinthians and chapter number 7 as we continue in our series, Too Committed, Experiencing and Enjoying Marriage God's Way. And we certainly have enjoyed the journey through this series as we took the first couple of weeks to really lay the foundation, understanding God's design, husbands to love, wives to reverence. And then now we have taken the last several weeks and have really delved into how do we show that love and that reverence one to another in our relationship. And we have men studied how can we be loving towards our wives by being close to them, by being open to them, and by understanding them. And all of these have a bearing on our wives feeling connected to us and our commitment to them. Likewise, wives, we have looked at several aspects of how you can more effectively reverence your husband. And today we swing back to the men, if you will, in our topic of peacemaking and the fact that she wants to hear you say, I'm sorry. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse number 3, let the husband render unto the wife due benevolence, and likewise also the wife unto the husband. The wife hath not power of her own body, but the husband. And likewise also the husband hath not power of his own body, but the wife. Defraud ye not one the other, except it be with consent for a time, that you may give yourselves to fasting and prayer, and come together again, that Satan tempt you not for your incontinency. And here, the Lord challenges us as husbands and wives to meet each other's needs, to resist any time where we might be defrauding one another of a need that he has given to us, unless it is for a season of prayer and fasting, at which there should also be then an agreed upon duration of that time and a stated time when you will come back together in meeting the needs that God has given you. And we see here the admonition to defraud not. And sometimes as we journey on in our homes, we go through a season where maybe we're not doing all that we should, and there may be some defrauding that we're guilty of in meeting the needs of our spouse, and we need to make that right. We need to be involved in peacemaking. And I believe as we look at this topic this morning that in some ways it might be the most important, because if there is a rift or a conflict or even a sense of tension, you and your wife will not fully be at peace, and therefore you cannot fully be connected. So there has to be this desire to make peace, to make things right, so that you can be connected as you should. And God knows that we're going to face these seasons in our marriages. I am not a perfect husband. My wife is not a perfect wife. And so therefore, our marriage is not perfect. And it's going to face seasons of imperfection or less than our best or mistakes or discouragement or whatever. That's part of life. And everybody needs to understand that. And that's why this lesson is so important, because it's relevant to everyone here this morning and anyone who might listen online later. It is so relevant to every relationship to learn the vital importance of peacemaking and how to accomplish it. Basically, in every marriage, there will be times when the sparks fly. Maybe it's because of fatigue and something gets said that should not be said. Maybe somebody forgot to do something and now someone is upset. Maybe it was the way something was said. Maybe it was the way someone reacted to something. Who knows? But somebody's going to have an unmet expectation. Somebody is going to be frustrated or offended or discouraged at something, and something is going to happen and the sparks will fly. And when that happens, it can go one of either of two ways. It can be a controllable outburst that then comes under control and gets resolved and can be used even as a flame to warm the home and deepen the relationship, or it can very quickly be fanned out of control and cause lots of problems in the home. And so every married couple needs to recognize, hey, there's going to be time when the sparks fly. The question is, how are we going to control them? When a moment of tension or disagreement or conflict or strife comes up, which will happen, it happens in every marriage, how are we going to handle it? And Lord, help us to handle it in a peaceful way and to grow through it and to be strengthened as a result of it. So this morning, let's discover how we can improve our peacemaking ability. Number one, I want us to see we can do so by realizing there is hope. Realizing there is hope. Now, we have to realize that as we have conflict, men, our wives will probably recognize this sooner than we do. We gave the illustration weeks ago about the electrical circuits and some 300 light bulbs being on that circuit. And our wives are so designed by God that if one light bulb is out, it affects them. And they want to make sure it's fixed and that everything is right before we move on. Men are so designed that you could have the same circuit of lights and 2,000 of those bulbs could be out. And the men would just focus on the fact that they've got 100, the fact that they've got 1,000 still working and everything is fine, you know. And they can handle it. Where the ladies, if there's one out, boy, we need to make sure we address that and take care of it. And so we need to realize that they may see the conflict before we do, and we don't need to be rejected by that. The Bible says in Isaiah, "For the Lord hath called thee as a woman, forsaken and grieved in the spirit, and a wife of youth." Sometimes a wife can feel forsaken, grieved in her spirit, troubled by something, and she comes to us to bring it to our attention, and we're looking at her like, "You got to be kidding me. Everything in life is amazing. We live in America. We have great health. God has been so good to us. We're going to spend an eternity in heaven, and you're crying over this?" And sometimes we feel that way, and we have to recognize, hey, this is the way God made my precious bride. And she is so designed that when that one light bulb is out, she wants to make sure that it is resolved. And it's not to make me feel like a jerk, and sometimes we do, but rather it is because she loves me and she cherishes our relationship and she wants every facet of it to be honoring to the Lord. And so I need to recognize that, and I need to realize that there is hope. When she brings these things to my attention and she wants to work through them, it's a very powerful expression of love when I will engage in that conversation with her and resolve whatever it is that may be stirring in our relationship. And so, men, we have to commit, we have to determine we're not going to run from these peacemaking opportunities. And men, understand that conflict is not a sign you have a bad marriage. In fact, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 7:28, "But if thou marry, thou hast sinned, and if thou hast not sinned, and if a virgin marry, she hath not sinned. Nevertheless, such shall have trouble in the flesh, but I spare you." God said, listen, it's not a sin to get married. In fact, virgins we should be as we get married. But even when you get married, even when you get married right, knowing only your spouse, the Bible still declares you're going to have trouble. Marriage is a forever commitment between an imperfect man and an imperfect woman. That is indeed what it is. And that's why we must submit ourselves one to another. And the Apostle Paul is challenging us here in the New Testament that, hey, you're going to have differing needs. There's going to be some conflict sometimes throughout your relationship, but you can work these out. And so realize there's hope. And you may be in here this morning and you may be thinking, Brother Rule, if you only knew the problems that we have and what we're going through, or maybe even what happened this morning, I don't know that there is hope. And I want to come alongside this morning and breathe life into you and say, there is hope because there's God. There is hope because there is God's Word. And indeed, you can make it. And indeed, you can have peace. And indeed, you can work through it. And we're going to learn how. But I want you to know as we get started, realize there's hope. We can work through anything we need to. And by the way, you may not be facing anything this morning, and I want you to put this one away in the toolbox of your home, because there's going to come a day where you face a time of testing and trial in your life, and you're going to need to be reminded there is hope. Realize there's hope. Secondly, then, recognize and resolve the historical. Recognize and resolve the historical. As one man put it, every time my wife and I get into a fight, she gets historical. Not hysterical, historical. She keeps dredging up everything from the past. Now, many wives are good at getting historical. By the way, guys, let me give you a side note. This is why it does not do you any good to end a conflict by saying, honey, let's just drop it. Or let's just agree to disagree. Let's just bury this thing. I'm telling you right now, it doesn't do any good to do that because you're going to hear about it again. It's the way she's wired. That light bulb is inoperable. She wants everything right. She wants the relationship in order. She wants to know that there's connection at every opportunity. She wants to know that there's peace. And to just say, let's drop it, or let's forget about it, or let's not worry about it, it may work for the moment, but it's not going to work for the long haul because something is nagging at her on the inside that something needs to be resolved in this relationship that she holds dear. And so remember that. And when she's rehearsing the history for us as we get into a discussion, and it's amazing what they can remember. We begin discussing something maybe that just happened, and then all of a sudden there's, well, you did this, and then this 5 years ago, and then that 10 years ago, and I remember where we were, and what you said, and what I was wearing, and what the weather was like, and we're just in awe of their ability to retain this knowledge for that long. But men, I want us to recognize why our wives get historical. When our wives get historical, they're bringing up things that often we have totally forgotten. And their heart is to take them full circle so that they can be completely resolved. She's dredging them up so that they can clear the air and that we can feel in love again on every level in our relationship. And men, when our wives get historical, dredging things up from the past, it's their attempt to reconcile with us, to be open with us, to try to have understanding and peace between us. She wants to be sure that we're not angry with her or frustrated or don't approve. She wants to make sure that she's loved by us. And she's not trying to provoke you and I, although sometimes to us it sounds that way. And men, we need to recognize that our relationship with our wife is much different than it is with any other person. And, you know, when guys say they're sorry to guys and they say, hey, no problem, it's just kind of the unwritten rule. You don't worry about it. You forget about it. But it is not that way in our relationship with our wife. It doesn't work just to, hey, I'm sorry, let's forget about it. There is a need to work through it, to have an understanding, to have a connection, to have a time where we open up and we talk it through. It's something that God created her to have. And so, men, I want to encourage you, if in a discussion in the near future, your wife gets historical, to pause and say, God, help me not to be frustrated, but help me rather to resolve what we're discussing here. And then to say to your wife, honey, I'm sorry that you keep bringing up this stuff from in the past. And I recognize that you're bringing it up because you do not feel that it is resolved. And I want to resolve it with you. I want to talk through it with you. I want to make sure that we are right in this area. Let's do that now. And talk through it with her and seek to understand. Seek to share your heart openly and transparently in love with her and make sure it's resolved. And then conclude the conversation by saying, honey, now have we resolved this? Do you in your heart feel that we have worked through this and have restored closeness in this area? Do you feel that way? And if it's a yes, then can we leave it here? And I don't care if you have to take a two-day trip and just tackle one historical moment at a time to resolve them and to work through them. It's worth it, and it's communicating to her how badly you desire peace and closeness with her as the bride to whom God gave you. So recognize and then resolve the historical. Realize there is hope. And then thirdly, I want us to study this morning the reason it is so hard. The reason it is so hard. Now, for any husband who wants fewer ongoing arguments, the path to peace is plain. You and I must simply learn to say, honey, I'm sorry. Will you forgive me? Now, men, that can be so difficult for you and I to say, but it's something we need to work at. Honey, I'm sorry. That was my fault. Will you please forgive me? If you and I will do this, it will help resolve so much conflict that may exist in our relationship. You say, well, I think she's more at fault than I am, or I think she's more to blame than I am, or she carries a greater percentage of why this is happening than I do. And honestly, none of that matters, because when something comes up in our relationship that is threatening to rob us from the relationship that God would have, then man, we must step up and we must resolve that conflict. We must strive for peace. We must take the lead and to be sure to acknowledge what it is that we have done and to be sure to say that I'm sorry. You say, Brother Rule, but saying I'm sorry is so hard. And I want to teach our class this morning the reason it is so hard. And there is a reason why it is so difficult for husbands to say, I'm sorry. And I want everyone, all the husbands and wives, to understand this morning, because it's going to help you. Now, first of all, wives, I want to teach you that when you say, I'm sorry, in your heart, that is an expression of love. When a lady says, I'm sorry, striving to resolve some conflict in a relationship, striving to bring peace to this relationship that she holds dear, for her, it is an expression of love. An expression of love. Boy, I love my husband. I want to work through this. I want him to know that I'm sorry for my part. And it's something you feel good about. All right? Now, guys, listen to me. None of us have ever said, honey, I'm sorry. My fault. Would you please forgive me? And inside felt good about it. Felt all fuzzy and warm, and boy, that just felt so good. I want to hold hands and sing Kumbaya. No guy's ever felt that way. And if you do, you're in the wrong class. No, I'm just teasing. But no guy's ever felt that way. That's not the way that we feel when we say I'm sorry. But for a lady, she does. When she says I'm sorry, for her, it is an expression of love. For him, and ladies understand this, when a guy says I'm sorry, for him, it is an admittance of failure. So for her, it is an expression of love. For him, it is admitting failure. I have failed. I have let you down. I have come up short. I have missed the mark. Honey, I'm sorry. My fault. Will you forgive me? Right thing to do, something we ought to do often, but I'm just teaching you this morning how a guy feels when he expresses those sentiments and why it is difficult for him. And so especially when he feels like she's bringing the same thing up over and over again, and he is saying that he is sorry, he feels like, boy, she's just pointing out that in this area, I'm a failure over and over and over again. And that's why it's so important that we resolve conflict, that when anything comes up, we talk it through thoroughly, that we leave in agreement that it has been resolved, that we have expressed our apologies and our desire to restore so that we can move on. Why? Because no guy wants to be in a relationship where he's reminded every day, you are a failure. No man wants to be in that kind of a relationship. And so there needs to be restoration. And men, I'm challenging you and I today in the area of peacemaking in our homes. And ladies, I'm educating you that when your husband says, I'm sorry, my fault, will you forgive me? He's admitting failure. And it's not something he likes to do. And it's something all of us need to do. But I want you to understand that when something is resolved, leave it resolved. Don't dredge it back up. Now, if it needs to be brought up because it needs to be worked through, then do so. We've already stated that. But if it doesn't, then leave it there. I'm so thankful for the word pictures of the Lord's forgiveness. He put our sins as far as the east is from the west. He buried them in the depths of the sea. He promises to remember them no more. They're washed white as snow by the blood of Jesus Christ. The four word pictures of God's forgiveness in the scriptures. And may we adapt that to our relationship as well. But men, I do want to challenge you this morning that while I understand why it is difficult for you and I to say that I'm sorry, I do want to challenge us to say it often. Because the truth of the matter is, what's standing in the way of us saying I'm sorry every time we need to is our pride. The reason I don't say I'm sorry as often as I should to my wife Suzanne or to my beautiful four children is because of my pride. And I need to get alone with God and say, God, help me, humble me, help me to take responsibility for my leadership in the home and in the stewarding of the relationships in which you have given me and blessed me with, and help me to initiate peacemaking by saying that I'm sorry, getting over my pride. And a wife can be extremely upset, but when a husband humbly expresses sorrow for what he has done in a sincere way, she melts. It works, and it's something we need to readily do. Then I want us to look lastly this morning at the road to happiness. The road to happiness. And I want to give a very quick, short course on peacemaking. Number one, have absolute confidence in the power of your loving demeanor. Have absolute confidence in the power of your loving demeanor. The Bible says, a soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. And men, I want to encourage you, have a loving demeanor. Again, your wife is probably going to notice when something needs to be worked out before you do. And when she brings it up to you, if you're not careful, your flesh is going to want to receive it as an attack. Oh, great, here's something else I did wrong. Oh, great, here's another area where I'm a failure. Oh, great, what did she do? Just constantly look for when I don't do the right thing, and you're going to feel that way in your nature. And I want to encourage you to fight that and to be filled with the Spirit and with God's help to respond with a loving demeanor. Practically, what am I talking about? Men, do not use grievous words. That's what he says here in Proverbs 15:1. Men, you ought not call your wife names. Never should a derogatory statement about your wife be uttered from your lips. You ought not yell at your wife. You ought not curse at your wife. You ought not talk down to your wife or criticize or gossip about her to anyone else. The Bible says those are grievous words. And God challenges you and I as husbands that it is that soft answer that turneth away wrath. And when we are filled with the Spirit and our wife brings something to us because she notices one light bulb out, and we want to pull our hair out because we're looking at the 2,999 that work just fine, we in our hearts need to say, God, forgive me. This is my bride, your gift, my precious companion. Help me in love to make peace, to make things right, not to speak grievous words. When you and I show a loving demeanor during a conflict of any kind, we are likely to touch the deepest part of her heart. The Bible says in Romans 12:18, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Well, if God challenges you and I to live peaceably with all men, certainly we should live peaceably with our wife. So the road to happiness, a short course on peacemaking. Number one, have absolute confidence in the power of your loving demeanor. Number two, you will make peace with her when you don't blame her, but instead confess your part of the blame. Men, you will have peace in your relationship and in your home when you do not spend time blaming her, but rather claiming, seeking responsibility for your part of the blame. The goal is not to win, it is to understand. The Bible says in James, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another. Men, the bottom line is, we must admit when you and I are wrong and apologize by saying we are sorry. When conflict comes, when something is brought to our attention that our wife feels is hindering peace as it should be in our relationship, we should not strive to find out what she did wrong. She brings us a problem. We're completely unaware of it. We've got enough light bulbs working that we're not too worried about it. And here, she senses something's wrong. She brings it to our attention, and we want to show her how she's wrong so that she'll leave us alone. And that's not going to bring peace. But rather, when we strive to find out what we did wrong, then take responsibility, and say we're sorry. And man, I want to challenge you the next time that something is brought to your attention that could interrupt the peace of your relationship to keen in on what you're hearing, to look for what you did that she did not understand or appreciate, and then take responsibility. Honey, I'm sorry that I said that. Honey, I'm sorry that I did not anticipate that need in your life. I'm sorry I didn't see that or notice that the way you did. And I promise you, I'll work on it. I'll be on the lookout for that. And next time, I'll sure try to do better. Would you please forgive me? And listen to me, man. You say, man, Brother Rule, you're making it sound like everything's our fault. I'm not saying everything's your fault, but I am saying you're the leader. And everything rises and falls on leadership. And when you and I, in these moments, seek to take responsibility and find out what it is that we did wrong and where we can do better and acknowledge that and mention that and then apologize for it, if we have a good-willed wife, and I believe many of us in this room do, she is going to follow our lead. And as we are looking for what we can improve, she's going to begin looking for what she can improve, and you're going to have the relationship that God intended. When you're saying, I'm sorry, your motive is never to confess so that she will admit she was wrong, but almost always in a goodwill relationship, when the husband takes this leadership where he's listening to the issue, finding out what he could have done better, acknowledging it, taking responsibility for it, and apologizing for it, almost always she will follow. It'll go something like this. She'll bring something to your attention. You'll hear her out and you'll say, honey, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have said that, or I didn't quite see it that way, or I didn't anticipate that need being just that way, but I'm sure going to work on it. Would you please forgive me? And here's what will happen. She'll say, oh, honey, it's okay. It wasn't really your fault. In fact, it was my fault. And then all of a sudden, the argument's not going to be about the issue. The argument's going to be about whose fault it really was. And it's going to change the whole dynamic of the thing. And men, I want to encourage you to take that lead. True peacemaking can heal the relationship and can provide the environment for which God intended. As the Bible says in Matthew 19, for wherefore, there are no more twain, but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let no man put asunder. Peacemaking can be difficult, but it is always worth it. And then at the end of the lesson, she'll feel at peace with you when, and just some practical tips for you this week. Heavenly Father, we sure love you. Thank you for the time together and your word. And I pray, Lord, that you would strengthen our relationships this week. May we strive to do our part to make peace, and may it bring you honor and glory, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.